Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
Up. We do this every single week, and we like to declare this about ourselves and about the Word of God. Say, I am what His Word says I am. I can do what His Word says I can do. I can be who His Word says I can be. So today, I'll receive the Word of God. I'll be taught the Word of God so that I can obey the Word of God because I love His Word. In Jesus' name, amen. You can go with me to James, the first chapter. You know, David said, your Word is a lamp unto my feet and it is a light unto my path. We're going to look every single time that we come together as the body of Christ, we're going to look to the Word of God because I don't want to stand up here and just talk about ideologies or philosophy or current events. I want to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Because I believe that this book is as relevant today as it was 2,000 or 3,000 years ago when it was written. It holds truth. It holds power to transform our lives. So we're going to look today to the Word of God. We're not just going to talk about something that sounds good or makes us feel good. We're going to allow the Word of God to have free course and reign in this church and in our lives to change us, to correct us. Come on, sometimes you might not know this. You might not see it. You might look in the mirror and think that you are God's gift to the earth and mama always told you that you were perfect. But let me tell you, mamas lie sometimes. Because they think you're perfect. They think you're great. They told you you were handsome and created in the image of the Lord, right? But you are. I'm kidding. I don't want to be mean today. Some of you are. But I'm joking. But we are going to allow the Word of God not only to encourage us. You see, some people only look to the Bible. In fact, I heard of a person one time. They read the Bible with a highlighter in one hand and a Sharpie in the other. And they highlighted what they liked and they marked out what they didn't. And that's a dangerous place to be in your life. But we're not just going to take what we like and throw away what we don't like. We're going to allow the Word of God to convict us, to transform us, to encourage us, inspire us, because it has everything that you need for your life. Amen. So James chapter 1, we're going to read verses 16 and 17. It says this, "Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation nor shadow of turning." I want to talk to you today about from above. That's the title of today's sermon. If you're taking notes, you can write that at the top of your paper today, just so you have reference to be able to look back. What was that sermon called? This sermon is called From Above, and we're looking at the book of James chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, and I want to unpack this a little bit for you today and help you better understand what James is saying. Not that he needs much translation, not that he needs much of an explanation of what he's trying to say, because James, when you read the book of James, it just lays it out, and if you don't understand it, you just need to read it again, because it will make sense. It is so straightforward. It is so true. But I want to talk to you for a few moments today, not only about the good things that God desires to give you, because I want you to know God wants to give you good gifts. I believe that God wants to bless you. God wants to prosper you. God wants to pour His Spirit out on you. He wants to anoint you. You are called. You are chosen. He wants to give you these good things. But I also want to warn you so that you don't miss those good things. Because if there's a lot of people that are living their lives and they're missing what God is doing and what He is sending and what He is giving to their life. In the book of Psalms, if you read there, it says that He daily loads us with His benefits. How often? Daily. Every single day, God is sending good things your way. But if you are not careful, you will miss what it is that God is doing. You'll miss what He is. If you don't pray, you'll miss what He's speaking to you. If you don't read, you'll miss what He's trying to get to you through His Word. If you're not looking for His blessings, sometimes you will miss them. So I want to also warn you, and I'd also like to take a few moments to just to talk about the nature of God. The fact that He is, in fact, a Father who loves to give good gifts. And so I want you really quickly, before we get any further into the Word, word, would you take just a moment and begin to compile a list within your mind, within your heart, and let the Holy Spirit remind you and show you and bring to light anything that is good in your life. Start, just think about it. If you need to close your eyes, go ahead. Nobody's going to judge you. Just begin to think about what is good in my life. What is there, anything that is profitable, anything that is beneficial, anything that makes me better, anything that is a blessing, anything that, you know, is something that I could not bring to fruition in and of myself. So I want you to think about those things, anything that is good in your life. Think about your spouse, right? The Bible says that he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor with God. Think about your children. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Your children are a blessing from God, right? So begin to think about your children, your friendships, right? That godly person that calls you and will challenge you in your life, will encourage you when you're going through a rough season, when you're struggling mentally, you're struggling emotionally, you're struggling physically, and they call you up. Think about that pastor. Think about that youth pastor that you had in your life that was always pushing you on to higher, greater things. Think about, you know, your home, the fact that you have somewhere to lay your head, the fact that you have somewhere to wake up and take a shower and sit at the table. Think about your health, the fact that you're here today and you're healthy and you're breathing in the air and you were able to open your eyes this morning, right? And so now that we've thought about all these great things, and there's so much more, we could go on and on and on. I want you to realize that this is a truth in every single person's life. Yeah. If it's good, it's from God. Yeah. If it's good, it's from God. Because the scripture literally says, every good gift and every perfect gift comes from God. Anything in our life that is good, we didn't earn it. We didn't create it. It didn't come from the government. It didn't come from the church, a person in the church. It didn't come from a man or a woman. Anything good in our life, it came directly from God. He is the source of all good things, period. If it's good, it's from God. And verse 17 is so good. It's so great. We're going to begin to talk about it in just a few minutes that, you know, every good and every perfect gift comes down from the Father above. But it's interesting to me that before we get to that, we have verse 16. Verse 16 is a warning. It's a leading into, it's a prelude to verse 17. And verse 16 says, do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. That phrase, do not be deceived, in the Greek means don't be caused to wander away from this truth. Don't be led astray. Don't deviate from the correct path, and don't go roaming into error. That's what James is saying to the brothers and sisters in Christ that he wrote this epistle to. Is he's saying, don't wander away from this truth. Don't be caused to go into error, because there is going to be a voice over here and a voice over there that's telling you this is good and this is perfect and this is what you need to do and this is what you need to get and this is what you need to purchase and this is what you need to go into debt for and this is how you should live your life and this is how you should vote and this is what you should do. But he said, I want you to realize that there's a lot of deception out there. Don't be deceived. So before James tells the people of God all about the wonderful things that God is going to bless them with, all the wonderful things that God has in store for them, he warns them, don't be led astray. Because the enemy's tactic is to get you to think that what he's got is better for your life than what God's got for your life. Because God is going to give you good and perfect gifts, but sometimes we settle for false imitations of what God is promising us and he is sharing with us and he is showing us we can have, because we are led astray by the enemy, or we're led astray by another man or another woman or something that we are going after and we are chasing, and we end up falling for a false imitation of a true blessing that God is trying to give to us. The enemy's tactic is to get you to think that he can compete with what God is offering to you. And that's been his plan from the start. In fact, if you go back to the beginning of time, if we were to go back to Genesis chapter 3, which is where you will find the fall of man, when man was living in a perfect creation of God, it was a garden called Eden that God had created for Adam and Eve to live in. And it was complete perfection. There was nothing wrong with it. There was no sin. There was no suffering. There was no pain. There was no death. There was no tears. There was no storms. There was nothing. There was no sickness. Everything was perfect in the garden, until one day there was a slithering serpent by the name of Satan that came and presented himself to Eve in the garden. And the Bible literally says that the serpent was more cunning than any other and more crafty than any of the other animals that were in the garden that had been created by God. And he spoke to Eve, which was the mother of all mankind, and he tempted her with the tree that was in the midst of the garden. You see, God had given Adam and Eve free reign of the entire garden. They could have anything they wanted. They could touch anything they wanted. They could eat anything they wanted. But there was one tree that he said, do not touch this tree and do not eat of this fruit that is on this tree. It was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And Satan came to Eve in the form of a serpent. And he said, did God really say that you can't eat that tree? That you can't eat the fruit that's on that tree? And she says, well, we can eat everything else except for that tree. And Satan basically says, well, you know, really what God is doing is God's holding out on you. He knows that if you eat that tree, that you'll be like him. And so he was trying to tempt Eve into thinking that God was withholding something from her that was good. But God does not withhold anything that is good from his children. In fact, the Bible says he will withhold no good thing to those who walk uprightly. So as long as you will adhere to what God is saying through his word, through his prophets, through his instruction in your life, he will not withhold any good thing. That's just in his nature. It's in his character. He won't look at you seeing that you need something or a good thing in your life and say, I'm not going to give it to him just because I don't want to, just because I don't feel like it. But the enemy will always try to get you to think God's holding out on you. God isn't giving you what you need. The reason you don't have that is because God is holding it from you, when that is not true at all. Because if we will walk uprightly, God will withhold no good thing from us. So the enemy, he comes to Eve and he tempts her and he says, God basically is holding out on you, Eve. He doesn't want you to know this. He doesn't want you to be like him. And up until this point, all they knew was good. All they knew was perfection. In fact, they were so pure and so innocent, they didn't even know they were naked. They were walking around without any clothes on. But the second she ate that fruit, the Bible says she understood that she was naked. Why? Because when she ate that fruit and she gave it to her husband and he ate that fruit, all of a sudden they had the knowledge of not just good. Up until this point, the only knowledge they had was good. Why? Because they were in perfect connection with the Father. And everything that comes from the Father is both good and perfect. Every good gift, every perfect gift comes from God. And that's all they knew. But in that moment, what God told them not to touch, when they touched it and they ate it, all of a sudden, they not only had the knowledge of good, but they also had the knowledge of evil. And they realized, I'm naked. There's something wrong. I'm no longer in connection and relationship the way that I used to walk in the garden in the cool of the day with the Father. I realize I'm ashamed. And how do we know that? Because they ran and they hid themselves. And they begin to make clothes out of fig leaves to try to hide themselves. And when God found them, he said, who told you that you were naked? Who told you? Because I created a perfect environment for you where you only receive good things. But he knew that they had touched and they had eaten of the tree that was full of the knowledge of good and evil. So when God instructed them to not eat that fruit or even touch this tree that is in the garden, it wasn't because he wanted to withhold good from them. That's not why he told them not to do it. It's because he wanted them to continue to live only in his goodness. So realize today, it's part of the character and the nature of God. He will not withhold any good thing from those who walk uprightly. His desire is for you to walk in his goodness and have every good thing that you need in your life. So he's not withholding from you, just like he wasn't withholding from Adam and Eve. The thing that he wanted to keep them from was the sin and the shame and the suffering and the brokenness and the death and everything, all the emotions and all the feelings and the separation of God that was going to come from the knowledge of good and evil. So the devil clothes himself in the cold skin of a snake and he speaks to Eve in an attempt to lure her away from the word of God, from what God had told them to be true. He wanted her to think that God was holding out on them. But I want you to hear this today. Anything that God doesn't give you, you don't need.
That's right.
Sometimes we get so frustrated. I've been praying for this. I've been hoping for this. I've been declaring it. I've been, you know, just wanting it and wishing for it. It's a dream. It's a hope. If it doesn't come to pass and God doesn't give it to you, you didn't need it anyways. And we get this idea, we get our sight so set on something, what we should really do is live saying, God, anything that you want to give to me, I'm open to. But anything that you don't want me to have, I don't want to be anywhere near it. I want to walk in your blessing. I want to walk in your favor, and I want to walk in your truth. Anything that you do need, your Father will make sure that you get it to those who walk uprightly. Sometimes, though, we get so disappointed and frustrated when God doesn't give us what we want. When we want it, don't we? We get mad at God, we get angry, we get discouraged. Why is God not giving me this? There's nothing wrong with this. This is something I've hoped for, this is something I've longed for. When we do that, do you know what you're doing? You are doubting the very nature of your Father. Because the reality is, He won't withhold any good thing from you if you walk uprightly. So the first thing is, here's the two conclusions that you need to come to if you are not getting something good in your life that you need, whether it's healing, whether it's provision, whether it's favor, whether it's a new job, whether it's a child that you've been praying for. There's two reasons why you don't have it. One, you're not walking uprightly, because He will withhold no good thing from who? Those who walk uprightly. Which would imply that those who do not walk uprightly, they're not under the favor and the umbrella of covering of God's blessing. So number one, always start with me. God, am I out of alignment? Am I not walking the way that you want me to walk? Is there something that I need to correct? Is that why? Because just like in football, if a player is supposed to run a post route, but they run a corner route, when the quarterback throws to the post route, the wide receiver's not going to be there to receive it. Some of you guys, that went way over your head. It's okay. What I mean is if the receiver's supposed to run here, but he runs over there, when the quarterback throws it to where he's supposed to be, he won't be there, right? And it's the same way with our life. God will put blessings in your life when you're on the path, the straight and the narrow that He's called you to walk in. So the first thing is, God, did I run the wrong route? Am I in the wrong place? Did I take the wrong path? Am I still on the straight and narrow? And if not, here's the thing about our gracious Father, is He will lead you back into the paths of righteousness. He will lead you back into the path of holiness, the old paths that we're called to walk on. So the first thing is always start with, God, if I'm not getting that provision, that favor, that blessing, that promotion that I'm hoping for, and then I know that I'm needing, am I out of alignment? And if so, realign me. The second thing is, if you're not getting it, but you've already asked Him and you realize you're in alignment with Him, you're obeying the Holy Spirit, you're adhering to His word, you don't need it. Doesn't mean you won't get it later, but it means that right now it's just not the right time for it, okay? So those are your two things to realize. If I'm not getting the good thing, God's not withholding it from me because I don't need it or because it's wrong. Sometimes it's because I'm out of alignment or it's because it's just not time yet. Yeah. But He will bring it to me, okay? So He says, do not be deceived, meaning don't allow yourself to wander. Don't allow yourself to be tricked into thinking that you're going to find a better deal. How many of you guys are that person that you find a really good deal on a car or on a shirt or on an appliance that you want, but you are going to make sure you're going to spend more in gas driving around from place to place trying to find it? You know those people that like they've got a coupon for somewhere in Trenton, Georgia? And they're going to save 50 cents on a burger, but they're going to spend $1.25 in gas getting there and back, but they got to use the coupon, right? And they don't realize that they're coming out worse on the other end because they didn't just have to spend more in gas, but they also stopped and they ended up buying a candy bar and they got a coffee and they saw, oh, we don't have that store over here. Let's run an Ingles and let's get this and let's get that, right? And they end up spending way more money, but they are so satisfied because they save 50 cents on a Junior Whopper, right? I mean, that's what we do sometimes with God. We always think, I'm going to find a better deal. I'm going to go out of my way over here. Whereas if you will walk in His paths, the book of Psalms says, His paths drip with abundance. So if you need favor, you need blessing, you need God to provide for you, the best plan that you can have, the best plan of action, stay on His path. It may cost sacrifice. There may be some suffering. There may be some pain in the night, but let me tell you, joy always comes in the morning and He will always provide. It may not be right when you need it, but just like when the sisters of Lazarus called Jesus and said, our brother's sick, and Jesus said, we got to go see Lazarus, but then He waited a few more days, but as soon as He got there, He said, I am the resurrection. I am the life. Lazarus, come out of that grave, right? He knows what you need and He knows exactly when He needs to get there. So you just stay in His path. Realize that Sometimes we can get so deceived and tricked into wandering for a better deal. There is no better deal than what God has promised to those who follow in his path. He paid an unthinkable price for you. He offered the perfect blood of his son. So when the enemy tries to get you to think that God's holding out on you, because that's what he's going to do. That's why James said, don't be deceived. Why? Because he knew the enemy, that serpent, he's still roaming around. In fact, now he's roaming around in the form of a lion, and he is seeking whom he may devour. Sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is to rule over you, but you should rule over it. He's still trying to get you to think God's holding out on you. So when he does that, you remind him that God has already given you everything that you need that pertains both to life and godliness. You go to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, and it says, by his divine power, he has given to us all things that pertain both to life and to godliness. So when the devil says God's holding out on you, there's a better deal. You can say, no, God already didn't spare his son and gave Jesus Christ the blood of his perfect son that was shed on the cross to provide remission of sin so that I can be free and I can be holy and I can live righteously and I can adhere to him, and he has a perfect plan for my life. So devil, God ain't holding anything out on me, because he already gave it all. He gave it all. But the enemy, you have to understand this, is the father of all lies. That's how Jesus describes Satan. So anything that the enemy says to you is a lie. You can identify anything he says, it is automatically a lie. And it reminds me, one time I was at a gas station and I was waiting to go up to the register and pay for my gas or my snack or whatever I was getting. And there was a lady that was standing in front of me. And you know how they put those displays of Little Debbie's right by the register? I mean, that's by design. That's just the enemy just yelling at you, right? And she was standing there and she looked at that Little Debbie thing and she said, "The devil is a liar," like that. And I'll never forget that. I had a hard time not laughing, but at the same time, that's helped me so many times in my life. I just look at that Little Debbie thing. I just say, "The devil, you are a liar. You're the father of all lies," because Little Debbie becomes Big Deborah, okay? You eat too many Little Debbies, you become Big Deborah. So the devil is a liar. So just like the enemy, though, approached Eve on that fateful day in the garden, he will try his best to lure God's people away from the promises, from the blessing, from the promotion, thinking that you'll get a better deal over here. So don't be deceived. Don't be drawn away. Stay on path. And, you know, recently I heard about this building project that was taking place in Dubai, okay, which is one of the most modern and forward-thinking cities in the world. I mean, it's actually home to the tallest building in all of the world. It's in Dubai. It's 2,716 feet tall. It's an amazing, amazing feat of engineering and infrastructure, and they're always being progressive and trying to push the limits and trying to do what nobody else has done before. But in 2003, a company called Nikhil Properties, they began this expansion because they had run out of coastline in Dubai. What God gave them wasn't enough for them, and they decided that they needed something more. They needed something different. And so they decided, we're going to build offshore living with man-made islands off the coast of Dubai. And so they begin building this infrastructure, and they had these three different places that were going to be different shape. If you look down at it from space, there were going to be different palm trees. It was all these different housing developments. But they also decided that they were going to make a group of islands, and I have a picture for you here. Would you put up that first picture, please, Donna? It's called The World. They've already constructed this. They've already made that. And if you see, you can realize that it's laid out. You've got North America up there, South America, Africa, Antarctica, Europe, and Asia, and Australia. You can see all the different islands. This is supposed to represent, they even built a sandbar around it to protect from the waves and the tide that would be coming in. But it also looks like, you know, the globe that circled there. And so they build this thing, and it was going to later be surrounded by what would be called, on the lower part and around the sides, the universe. And they were going to build Saturn and the sun and the moon and all this stuff. They were going to build the entire universe. And now these lands, though, these islands that you see in this picture, they are man-made in the ocean, okay? And what they would do is they took these ships, these humongous ships that they would harvest sand from sandbars, and they would come and they would use this humongous hose to shoot sand out and build up all these islands to make them look like from space it was the world. And go to the next one just so you can see. This is what it looks like up a little bit closer. This is what these islands look like. Now, as you can see, they're still not built upon and they are uninhabited. Okay? Now, there's some scriptural truth as to why that is taking place. But also, currently, right now, that was begun in 2003. But in 2008, there was a global financial crisis, as many of you know and probably lived through. And it caused a lot of real estate in current projects to be shut down. So this was a project that in 2008, they stopped working on it. There was a huge, you know, crash in the real estate boom. And currently, there's only one island that is open to the public, and it's the island of Lebanon that represents Lebanon on the map. And a couple years ago, it was a party island. People would go over there on the weekends, and they'd have a lot of fun, and they'd do whatever. But now, if you go there today, it's almost like a ghost town. There's 5, maybe 7 people on the entire island, and it's been described as people have visited as almost eerie and desolate, that it's supposed to have high-end features, but they haven't been kept up, they haven't been taken care of, and so it's not what it once was. And there is construction that is currently taking place on the Europe island, but nobody knows if and when it will ever take place. Now, I'm going somewhere with this, okay? Because Dubai also made news recently for their 125-degree temperatures that's taking place. And so their idea of the way to cool it off is they took laser beam shooting drones, flew them in the air, and shot those laser beams into the clouds to try to shock the clouds to release rain over Dubai to try to cool off the temperatures. Now, I don't know about you, but I think that God takes a little bit of an issue and takes it personal when you start trying to control what he is in charge of, like the weather and like the world and like things that he created and he built, right? And so if he wanted it to rain in Dubai, he'd make it rain in Dubai. If he wanted islands in the shape of the world off the coast of Dubai, he would have put him there on the day of creation. You know, here's the thing you have to understand though, is that God can do more in a moment than man can do in a million years. So in the same manner, though, the deal that the enemy wants to make with you, and he wants to make you think he can get a better deal, his version of what you want or need is like Nikhil Properties' version of God's creation. As you see this, it looks cool from space. Sounds like a great idea. Oh, wow, that'd be so cool. You go to this island, you're in Europe. This island, you're in America. This island, you're in Asia. But here's the thing. When you go there today, it looks great from space, but it's empty. Yeah. It's worthless. Yeah. There's no life. There's no hope for tomorrow. There's nothing happening over there. You know why? Because nobody can compete with God. They thought they were doing something big, something that was new, something that nobody else had ever done, nobody could compete with, but they didn't realize that all they did was show their insignificance in comparison to God. What took them years and over $13 billion took God a few days, and theirs is just a miniature version of what he already created. Right? And here's the thing, there's no, in their design, there's no sun, there's no moon, there's no stars. There's no intelligent life. There's no fresh water. There's no foliage. There's no mountains. There's no valley. It's just a bunch of piles of sand. And it took them years and $13 billion, and God did it with the words of his mouth. And he created the real world, right? And the world he created is still going. Every day the sun comes up. Every night the moon still shines. It's home to some 7 billion people, and he's able to hear them all individually and save them if they just call upon him and ask him and believe in their hearts. So realize that this is the example I'm making to you today. Every good and perfect gift is in the hands of God, and he'll give it to you. But the enemy wants to trick you into this smaller, empty version. Yeah. And so many times we go the way of the enemy, and we are deceived. Now, you might say, there's no way that I'm going to be deceived by the enemy. Well, then I would say, he wouldn't have said it if you weren't going to have a chance. I'm not saying you're going to be deceived, But he wouldn't have said, don't be deceived, because when James wrote this, he wasn't just trying to fill in a few words. Oh, I need a verse 16, so let me just tell him to not be deceived. I'll just throw that in there. No, the Bible was in all of the scripture, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, was inspired by God. The Holy Spirit spoke to these men that wrote this book and told them exactly what to say. And God told James, he said, you tell those people, don't be deceived. So you might say, I'm not going to. You might say, well, he's talking to unsaved people. No, he's not. He said brethren. Yeah. Anytime you find the word brethren in the New Testament, it's talking about brothers and sisters in Christ that have been washed by the blood, have given their lives over to God. So he is talking and he is warning believers, don't be deceived. In fact, 5 times in the New Testament, it says, do not be deceived. Jesus said it. Peter said it. Paul said it. James said it. Do not be deceived. Why? Because it is so easy to be lured away. Not so easy in the fact of that, you know, you should be scared about doing it, but that you should always have in the mindset, I don't want to be deceived. That's why Jesus stood up and he said, I am the true vine. Yeah. Meaning there's false vines out there that are going to try to get you to attach yourself to them, thinking that life and hope and freedom are going to come from them. But don't fall for those false versions of the truth. Realize I am the true vine. Don't be deceived, right? But one of the ways that we're warned we could be deceived is to be tricked into thinking that anything that is good or perfect came from anywhere other than God, when it cannot. No man, no woman, no business, no amount of money or fame can give you anything good. Yeah. If it's good, it came from him. So now let's talk about this. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father, from above, from the Father of all lights, in whom there is no variation nor shadow of turning. Our response to him, that's what I want to talk about for a moment, is our response. What should our response be to verse 17? The fact that every good and every perfect gift comes from him. Our response should be a response of thanksgiving. We should always respond with thanksgiving. Because when the difference between being blessed and being spoiled is gratitude. The difference between being blessed and being spoiled is gratitude. You ever seen a child that gets everything that they want? Eventually, they have a tendency to stop saying thank you, to stop appreciating what they get. So the way that you keep yourself, because your Father wants to shower you daily with benefits. Well, the difference between being entitled and being blessed is that we simply have a heart of gratitude. I try to thank God every single day for my wife, for my children, for our health, for my home, for our vehicles, for the food on my table, for the air conditioning that is coming out of the vents in my home and in my vehicle, for the clothes on my back, for the shoes on my feet. Why? Because every single thing in my life that is good came from him. So therefore, I should say thank you to him for every single good thing that is in my life, because when I don't, I am not giving him the glory and the praise and the gratitude that he is due. And I might be tricked into thinking that I've got this house because I worked this job. I've got these clothes because I paid for them. I've got these children. I've got this wife. I've got this vehicle because of me or because of this person. When in reality, anything in your life that is beneficial or profitable, it came from him. And when I forget to say thank you, I'm in danger of being deceived into the thought process that it came because of me or because of you or because of someone or something else. So our response should always be a response of gratitude. Thank him daily for the work of the cross. Thank him daily for the blood of his son. Thank him for reconciliation. Thank him for the Holy Ghost. Thank him for the power and the anointing and the ability to say no to temptation and to ungodliness. Thank him for grace. Thank him for freedom from addiction. Thank you that you're not where you used to be. Amen? You need to define what is actually good in your life. Because if it's not actually good and it's not actually perfect, then you shouldn't want anything to do with it because it didn't come from him. So what the world calls the good life is nothing more than a false sense of comfort and hope. The only good life that is accessible to the human being has been provided by the blood of Jesus Christ and victory over the enemy. So did you know that studies say that 2 out of every 5 people in America deal with depression on a daily basis? That's 40% of America deals with depression. Why? Because we have Christians and non-Christians that don't understand that the only good things in their life came from their Father in heaven. and that he loves them enough to give his son for them. So I want you to know today, depression is not God's will for your life. If you're dealing with it, you're battling with it, you're struggling, it's been clouding your mind, it's been weighing you down, it's been bogging your life up, I want you to know you don't have to live with that weight anymore. There is freedom in Jesus Christ. Some people say it's just a sickness. You need to medicate it. You're just going to have to deal with it. You just need to get over it. No, depression is anxiety in your heart that has not been turned over to God, and you've allowed it to weigh you down and discombobulate you and cloud your thinking, and he has good and perfect gifts from you. I want you to know today, depression did not come from God. Shame and condemnation did not come from him. Fear didn't come from him. Anxiety didn't come from him. The Bible says that only good, which means beneficial, and perfect, which means complete gifts, come from God. Only beneficial things come from God. God will never send anything in your life that may not be, that is not going to be beneficial. Yeah. Now listen to this. Sometimes it may come in the form of a storm or a suffering or a trial. But it's still a good gift. And we need to learn to thank him, not just for the promotion, not just for the favor, not just for the blessing, not just for the prosperity, but say, God, thank you for every time that you led me into a storm. Because in the middle of that storm, there was something in there that I wasn't going to get on the riverbank. There was something in there that I wasn't going to get staying at home. But you didn't just take me into the storm, but you took me through the storm. And I've got peace that passes all understanding. I've got hope even in the midst of sorrow. I've got joy even in the midst of my pain. And so sometimes you got to realize that it was a good thing that God sent to you. Just like Joseph looked at his brothers and he said, what you meant for harm, God turned around and he used for my good. And so we need to thank him, not just for the money that he gives us, not for the jobs that he gives us, but sometimes it's the trials and the tribulations and the testing and the difficulty that God is forging inside of you, a man and a woman of God that will not be deterred, that will not turn to the left, won't turn to the right, but will keep their face set like a flint, seeking him evermore, and realize that everything that comes from him, even if it's wrapped up in a bundle of trouble, it is a good and it is beneficial for your life. It's going to develop inner strength inside of you that you couldn't get. There's one of my favorite stories is when Jesus, after he had fed the 5,000, he took his disciples, and the Bible literally says he made them get in the boat. In other words, I almost see like someone were like, Jesus, I just want to hang with you. And he was like, get in the boat. And I can just see him saying, yes, sir. And getting in the boat, right? And then they get in the boat and they begin to sail across the Sea of Galilee. And when they're in the middle of the sea, a tempest arises and a storm begins to beat against the side of the boat and begins to rock it this way and rock it that way. But you got to remember, he made them get in the boat. The person that knew everything, he knew they were about to ride in that storm, but he still sent them right into the middle of it. Why? Because he knew it wasn't going to be the end of them. He knew it wasn't going to defeat him. He knew that the boat wasn't going to crash against the rocks and they weren't going to die, but he knew there was something that they had to develop inside of that storm that if they stayed with him on the shore, they would never get. And so he came walking across the water. Why? Because any storm you're in, you better realize he will be there. You might be in the midst of the storm, but he won't leave you in the middle of it. And he came and he called Peter to walk to him, and then he got in the boat with him, and all of a sudden, it all became still, tranquil, peaceful. So you've got to realize that every good and every perfect gift isn't always $1,000. It isn't always a promotion at work. It isn't always, you know, a new car or a new house. Sometimes it's a storm that you're going to have to go through. But it's still good. It's still beneficial. Yeah. It's still going to make you better. It's still going to make you stronger. It's going to develop character in you. You're still going to get put in the fire, and there's going to be a refining process, but it's going to be good and it's going to be beneficial in the end. Go with me to Matthew chapter 7. I'll start wrapping up here. Matthew chapter 7. Jesus is speaking in this passage, and he talks about gifts that come from God. And so I want to look at this really quickly as we begin to close up. And I want you to realize these gifts that come from God. And like I said, they're not always the gifts that we would want or the gifts that we think that we need, but they're gifts nonetheless. How many of you guys have had some of those gifts at Christmas or birthdays? Wasn't what you wanted, but it was what you needed, right? Your grandmother got you socks and underwear every year. And you're like, I don't want this, but you needed it, right? Well, sometimes there's gifts like that from God. It's like, I don't want this, God. And he's like, yeah, but you need it. Matthew chapter 7, verse 9, Jesus says to the people he's addressing, he says, or what man of you is there among you that if your son asks for bread, would give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, we'll give him a snake. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more, everybody say that with me, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? I just have to think that maybe this was a little bit of inspiration for what James wrote in James chapter 1, verse 17, because he says, your Father who is in heaven, and James says, every good and gift that comes down where? From above. That word above literally means from heaven or somewhere that is the top. And so he says he will give to you, your Father who is in heaven will give good gifts to those who ask him. I want you to know this today. I want you to get this. It's okay to ask God for good things in your life. Yeah. In fact, he wants you to ask him for good things. Why? Because if you don't, you'll end up seeking them somewhere else. And he's the only one that has them. So pray for favor. Pray for blessing. Pray for increase. Pray for prosperity. Pray for anointing. Pray for influence. Pray for authority. Pray for power. Pray for storms. Pray, God, I want good gifts in my life. So you have to realize this. Who does he give them to? People who ask. That's what Jesus ended that scripture with. He said, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to who? To those who ask. I'm asking God for souls in DeKalb County. I'm asking God for favor in our community. I'm asking God for unity amongst the body of Christ. I'm asking for a home for the Wellfort Payne. I'm asking him for more laborers for the harvest that's coming. I'm asking him for multiplication. I'm asking him for suddenlies. I'm asking him to answer by fire. I'm asking for healings in the altar. I'm asking for salvation. I'm asking for deliverance. I'm asking for people that are bound by homosexuality or insecurity or fear or hatred or racism to be set free. I'm asking for marriages to be restored. I'm asking for prodigals to come home. I'm asking for drug addicts to be set free and delivered. I'm asking for alcoholics to pour their alcohol out because they realize that it is hindering their life and keeping them back from who God has called them to be. I'm asking God for signs and wonders and miracles. And I'm saying, God, I want good gifts. I don't just want money. I don't just want blessings. I don't just want a better house or a better car. But God, the good gifts that I'm asking is I want more anointing. I want more favor. I want more of you in my life. I want more of the word in my life. I want more healings. I want more salvations. I want to see people coming to the kingdom in droves. I want to see people running to the altar saying, what must I do to be saved? I want to see people get set on fire and go back to their high schools, go back to their middle schools, and begin to stand up on the cafeteria table and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm asking for men and women that would be like Paul in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, where he said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Because it's the gospel that has set me free for the Jew first and also to the Greek. The preaching of the cross, it might be foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those of us who are being saved, it is the power of God. That's what I'm asking for. And if that's your heart, would you just stand with me today? I'm asking him to pour his spirit out upon all flesh. I'm asking that sons and daughters would prophesy. I'm asking for old men to dream dreams. I'm asking for young men to see visions. I'm asking for God to call people into intercession that would last all night long, that they would say, I want nothing more than to connect with the heart of God and hear what he's saying for this community. I'm asking that he would send us a just powerful move of his presence and a revival. And you know what? He's not just going to do everything I'm asking for. He's going to do more than it. All those things that I just named, everything you're hoping for in your life, God isn't just going to meet your expectations. He's going to exceed your expectations. Because the last time I opened my Bible to the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, in verse 20, it read this way. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I could ever ask or think, according to the power that is at work in us. That word able in the Greek, it doesn't just mean to have power. It means to show power. Now unto him who will show himself powerful to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we could ever ask or think. We might be praying for 100 souls. He could send 200 souls. We might be praying for God to heal somebody's arm. He's going to heal their whole body. We might be asking for God to provide you a job. He's going to give you not just a job, but a better job than you had at your previous one. You might be asking God, send that child home. He's not just going to send him home, but they're going to come home and they're going to serve him with their whole heart. They're going to be called into the ministry. They're going to be a soul winner in the name of Jesus Christ. He can do so much more. And I believe that God's going to show himself powerful in your life, in this church, and in this community. But here's the thing. Do not be deceived. Don't be drawn away. This looks good. This sounds good. This makes me feel good. You'll end up on a deserted island that Nikhil Properties built, and there ain't nothing going on over there. Don't be deceived. Realize if it's good and you're walking uprightly, he won't withhold it from you. Every good and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of all lights, and this is what I want to end with, in whom there is no variation nor shadow of turning. He is the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. The God that split the Red Sea, the God that brought rock out of a water to give water to rock, water out of a rock, not rock out of water. He could do that too if he wanted to, but he just didn't want to. He decided to bring water out of a rock. The same God that could multiply 5 loaves and 2 fish and feed over 5,000 people and have leftovers, same God. In whom there is no variation. He has not changed his character, his makeup, his desire, his promises one bit. Yes. He's the same God today that he was then. So I just ask you to lift your hands today. I just want to pray for you. If there's any need in your life, you are always welcome to come to the altar and find a place. We will be happy to pray with you. This altar is open. It's a place of healing. It's a place of repentance. It's a place of grace. It's a place of deliverance. So if you ever need something in your life, just know the altar is always open at the well. You can come and find a place. But if you today are just saying, I want to not be deceived and I want to receive everything that God has for me and nothing more, would you just lift your hands? Father, I pray over your people today. I thank you for the character that you haven't changed one iota. You haven't missed an I to dot. You haven't missed a T to cross. But you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you're still the God who answers by fire. You're still the God that will save all those who call upon you. He who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I thank you that you are still the God that can provide something even when it feels like there is nothing. I thank you that you're still the God that can save an entire city and save an entire nation. I thank you that you are still the God who gives good and perfect gifts. And I pray over your people today that we would not be deceived to walk away into some false idea, and that we wouldn't allow the enemy to trick us into thinking that you're holding out from us. And Lord, I pray that if there be any one of us that are not walking uprightly, that you would convict us by the power of the Holy Spirit right now. Because you will not withhold any good thing to those who walk uprightly. So God, we realize that if we don't have what we need, we're either not uprightly or we don't really need it. And we just admit that before you today. And I pray that you would bring correction and alignment to your church today, God. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're saying, I feel like I've been missing out on some blessings and some favor and some promotion and some storms even maybe in my life because I haven't been walking uprightly, would you just lift your hand? I want to pray with you today. Is there anybody here that would be honest? I see that hand. Father, I pray right now that by the power of the Holy Ghost, that you, just like a chiropractor, would put his hand somewhere and would do a twist and there would be a pop and he would get things back into alignment. I thank you that you are the great physician. I pray that you would bring back into alignment every single person that has stepped out of the path. By the blood of Jesus Christ, we pray freedom, we pray healing, and we pray favor over their life right now, God. And I pray for those that are waiting and those that are hoping. Maybe you feel like Lazarus' sisters and you're like, I've called to Jesus, but he hasn't come. He hasn't brought the healing yet. He hasn't brought the deliverance yet. I just declare right now, even when he's 3 days late on your timetable, he is still on time. And so, God, I thank you that we can trust you on the mountaintop and we can trust you in the valley low, Lord. And we just declare right now that we don't want to miss any single thing that you're doing and we don't want to look somewhere else. We set our eyes on you in Jesus' precious name. And everybody said, amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance upon you. May he keep you in his peace and may he smile all over you in Jesus' precious name. And everybody said, amen. Amen.